We're going to open our Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we'll read verse 7 through chapter 12 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting at verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many, and all that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors of the streets are shut, when the sounding of the grinding is low, and the one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, the terrors are in the way, and the almond trees blossom, the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire fails, because he is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about to the streets, before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Let's pray together one more time. Father, we come to you in your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us, and we pray now that by your Spirit, as you are here among us, you would take this word and work among us, that we might know you and love you, that we would be transformed today by the working of your Spirit to be conformed more and more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, even through this your word. So feed us now, please, and change us for your glory's sake and for our good. We ask this hopefully and trusting in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we have to remember to rejoice. There are dark days, hard days, confusing days, and we've experienced some of those this week. 2020 was a hard year, and now 2021 has begun with this riot in the Capitol. An unruly, angry mob smashed into our government building to stop the work of government to certify the election. It seemed like something out of a third world country, and it wasn't some Antifa, some leftist group. It was people on the right. There were people carrying crosses in that crowd. People carrying the banner of the Republican President Trump. We don't do this. We're a country of laws. We have peaceful transitions of power. Just look at our history. But there it was on the screen. Chaos in the Capitol. Shocking, upsetting, dark days. I struggled to think, what should I preach about? Should I preach about something different? Should I preach about loving our enemies or doing good to those who hate you or even the importance of words? Jesus spoke about those things. They're important things. But I think God, his providence, brought us to this passage. This passage in Ecclesiastes, I think it will help us to keep our hearts from being ruled by the anger of our culture. We respond with anger because of fear. Politicians stoke up fear. Social media plays on our fears, so we need to get our hearts right. As followers of Christ, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. There are things that will make us angry in the world. There are things that should make us angry in the world. But we must be angry and not sin. Be angry and love our enemies. We cannot be ruled by fear, but we must be ruled by the love of God and our steadfast faith in him. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Then we can be ruled by righteous anger, moved by righteous anger and grief over sin, and engage the world around us in productive ways that lead towards healing and reconciliation. We may not succeed, things may get worse, but God doesn't give us assurance that things are going to get better. He does give us the assurance that we will only cause harm if we're ruled by fear and anger. We can be sure of that. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So we're going to look at Ecclesiastes here. And God is going to remind us that we are to rejoice and we are to remember our Creator. Rejoice and remember. And I think this, if we get our hearts right, remembering our Creator and rejoicing in Him, this will lead us away from our culture of fear and anger, and we'll remember that God rules and our life is hidden safe with Him. So we can be concerned about doing good in every aspect of our lives, in politics, in our workplaces, in our families, our neighborhoods. We can do good, proclaim the gospel, and bring healing to our broken world. So first, the first section here, I want us to think about rejoicing. We are to be a countercultural people. That doesn't simply mean we don't want to act like the culture. We're not going to be Amish and just do things to be different. It means we're motivated by something different from our culture. So sometimes much of our life may seem similar to our culture, but we must have a different point of view, a different reference point for everything we think about. As a people of God, we always have joy. We always have that. As a people of God, we always have joy. Now, Solomon is dealing in broad strokes here, but he's ending his sober philosophical exploration that has been in Ecclesiastes. And this section here is the last section that Solomon's writing. Our next paragraph that we'll see the next time is whoever wrote this is responding back to Solomon. But this is him, Solomon, kind of ending his big points. And he ends with a reminder to rejoice. With all of the sober things he's writing about, rejoice. And the first thing he reminds us of is life is good. Look at verse 7 and 8. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Throughout the passage, light is kind of good, is the good, and then dark represents bad. You know, things get dim, things get dark. That's getting broken and old. Light is sweet. It is pleasant to see the sun. Life is good. And so when the world seems crazy, when things are happening that we don't understand, sometimes we just have to stop and see the little thing. Go outside and feel the sun on your face. And say, life is good. God still reigns. Experience the good gift of God in every moment. Get perspective. God created this world for our enjoyment. The garden was filled with every good thing to satisfy our desires. We rightly enjoy the world as we rightly enjoy God. And as we enjoy the world, we enjoy God. Now, what does the Westminster Shorter Catechism say? What is the chief end of man? Anybody want to throw it out there? All right, right, that's right. It, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We glorify God and we enjoy Him, and those things go hand in hand. As we enjoy the world, we're enjoying His good gifts. If we do that rightly, we're glorifying God. There's joy. God created this world. He displays His goodness in it. So we glorify Him as we enjoy it. Rejoice. So Solomon says, if you live many years, rejoice in them all. Notice he says that. He says, rejoice in them all, even though there will be dark days. Many dark days. Now, it's easier to rejoice when it's a sunny day, when you feel the sun and you feel the goodness. It's easier to rejoice in those days, but he says rejoice in them all. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It doesn't say rejoice because you're suffering. Don't rejoice because you have a dark day. Rejoice in the Lord in the dark day. You see, the days might be sunny or dark, but the Lord is always the same. We always have joy because we have that source that never changes. We can rejoice in Him always, in all the years, but be ready. Some days it won't be so easy. Dark days are ahead. It's going to be hard, but keep rejoicing. And we're going to talk about the dark days in the next paragraph, but for this I just want you to get the opening point. As a child of God, that means for you there is an ever-flowing source of joy that cannot be touched. And that joy should chase away fear. Nothing can take that. And if that's our deepest sense of who we are, that's why it chases away the fear, because we're fearing losing something most important to us. We can't lose what's most important to us. That joy is safe. So let that draw us closer and closer to God. But then he shifts. He says, life is good. But then he focuses particularly on young people. Maybe he's thinking of his sons. But he says, youth is good. Verse 9 and 10, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life is vanity, or vanity. It could be fleeting. It's moving quickly, a breath. Well, does Solomon mean here that you should just do whatever you want? You hear that? You should, young person, walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Now, fathers, is that kind of language you're going to use of your kids? Hey, kids, walk in the way of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Well, in our culture, we have to think pretty carefully about, maybe I want to qualify that a little bit. I mean, the Bible itself, what does the Bible say? Numbers 15, 39 says, it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes. So Solomon contradicting Moses? Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Solomon's not contradicting Moses. Psalm's not simply just saying, go do whatever you want. You think of our world says, how does it answer the question, if you want to be cheered in your youth, our world's going to say, you go follow your heart, do what you want, sow your wild oats, get out there. That's where we're going to find youthful cheer. That's what's fun. But the question is, does that actually bring you joy? Is that what's in view here? Is there lasting happiness of going to do whatever you want? Well, let's come at that from a different way. So young people, I want you to think about this differently. Let's start from the assumption that God actually made you and God actually knows you. He knows all about your life. God created the world for us to rule and enjoy and glorify Him, but we sinned and rebelled. We turned away from His joy to find our own, and we found misery and death. And so then God gave us His law. Why then, in this story, why does God give the law? To bring us back into joy. The law directs us back into joy because in rebellion we have run from it. The law brings us back. It's the boundaries to say, no, here's where the safety is. Here's where the joy is. What is the greatest commandment? Well, Jesus answered that question from Deuteronomy 6. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. The most basic requirement for your joy, young person, old person, the most basic requirement is that you love God with all your heart. And when your heart is captured by the love of God, when your heart is captured by that reality, then the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes will direct you into the joy that God is directing you into. The more your heart is filled with the love of God, the more you will grow and enjoy the good life that God has made for you, choosing more and more what is good and finding more and more of that joy. Our world says, pursue your own heart, pursue your own thoughts, go your own way apart from God. That is the way of misery, that is the way of loneliness, isolation, brokenness, and sin. And our world is manifestly displaying that. Jesus says, follow me. My law, my truth. And in that, there is the way of true joy. And brothers and sisters, if our hearts are truly captured by the love of God, His law is our delight. It directs us into joy. If we've given our hearts wholly to a believing God's way, isn't that liberating? To live a life of goodness, to live a life of happiness, of doing good, experiencing the joy of the Lord, when that seems wrong, that means we have a wrong view of God and a wrong view of His law. So we all of us should check our hearts. Do we think of the law that way? Or have we imbibed the world's view where we think the law is God being grumpy, keeping us from fun? Now, maybe you wouldn't use that crass language, but is that in there? Or is the law God taking wayward, rebellious people and directing us back into the way of truth, ultimately fulfilled in Christ and our life given to Christ to live for him in the path of righteousness? So young people, as you are stepping into this big, dark, and sometimes difficult world, you must be convinced that only by loving God will you find the joy of life that is true and deep and real. And only by following his word will you find the desires of your heart. Listen to how God speaks. This is what he says later in Deuteronomy. He's looking ahead now about the sins of Deuteronomy, of Israel. This is Deuteronomy 28. He says, you're going to be cursed. Why are they going to be cursed? Listen to this. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. They're being cursed because they didn't serve God with joy and gladness. That's the critique. We are to serve serve God with joy and gladness. That doesn't mean go fake it. God isn't saying, oh, go fake being happy. Go work yourself up into some ecstatic feeling of joy. No, see God rightly. See him as he is. Understand his law and be joyful because that joy is unstoppable. Serve him with joy and gladness. And then young people, then you love God with all your heart and then with all of your youthful energy, live in the joy of the Lord. Do all that he puts in your heart. Do all that he puts before you. You've got so much energy, young people. Use it. Give your heart to living for Jesus. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to see the law rightly. You need to see his word rightly. See Christ rightly. And you will be liberated to a life of joy that this world cannot give you. In that joy and freedom, you can be at peace about a coming judgment. Because however you live, there is a coming judgment when the motives of your heart will be judged. It's coming. So know it and live for Christ in peace and joy. We'll talk about that more at the end too. But for now, as you start to see what the world's about, and some of you young people are starting to put that together, you're seeing the world, it's an exciting time to see what the world's about, how it goes together, all these things are happening. And some things are exciting, some things are going to make you angry, but youthful zeal can easily turn into hot-headed fury. So take a breath. And turn your energy to doing good. Life is complicated. If it seems simple, like you think you've got it just all figured out, it's all very simple, somebody's probably selling you something. So listen and learn and be at peace so you can accomplish great things and find true joy. Youth is fleeting. That's what it means there at verse 10. Youth is fleeting. That's okay. Don't get crazy like our culture trying to hang on to youth, but just live in your youth. Enjoy your youth. Rejoice in your youth and use your energy. Follow your heart as God directs you into joy and righteousness and accomplishing great things. Rejoice. Life is good. Youth is good. It's our sin that perverts it all. It breaks it all up. Rejoice. The second big section, moving into chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, is remember your Creator. Verses 1 through 8, these are sober verses about the difficulties and pains of life. The main idea is found in verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. He says, remember your Creator before. He's going to say, before you die later, back down in verse 6, but before the evil days come. Remember your youth before you say, I have no pleasure. It's easier to remember your Creator before it gets hard, before you get bitter. Evil days are coming. Days where you won't feel pleasure. Days of sorrow and pain. It may be harder in those days to remember your Creator. So remember him now. Remember him now. Start now. You'll have more joy and less regret. You'll have stored up in your heart years of joy that can serve as a ballast that can hold you up when those difficult days come. And they are coming. So let's look at this text as we remember our Creator. And I'm going to use phrases from the first paragraph, and I'm going to pull them down to sort of give us some structure here. But the first thing, remember your Creator, because dark days are coming. Dark days will be many. Now, I should just look at your paper there. If you have a phone or something, it's harder to see. But if you have a Bible, look at the amount of material in chapter 11 about how good things are. You got about two sentences. You know, the sun is sweet, and it's good to look at sun and rejoice in youth. But now look how much material there is about how difficult things are. Solomon put a lot of energy into this paragraph of verses 1 through 8 of chapter 12. He wants us to get how real this is. For him, some of the imagery is a little bit weird. Like, why is he talking about almond blossoms? And I'm not going to tell you because I don't know. But the point is clear, right? The point is clear. Life is hard. And as life goes on, light is darkened. And remember, light is the kind of the good. And so that the sweet starts to fade. Often, you know, especially in those days, you have cataracts, all kinds of things where there's no help. The eyesight would dim. Age meant dimming, right? So you're getting older, so things get darker and dimmer, harder to see. Life gets bitter. Life can turn hard as the years pile on, and choices have consequences. And your life has had so many choices, and the consequences pile on. And as the clouds return after the rain, you see the imagery there. You have a storm, and instead of sunshine after the storm, there's just more clouds. It doesn't brighten up. No relief. It just kind of piles on a little bit. Throughout this paragraph, there's languages of fear, trembling, horror, afraid in the way, horror of what's on high. Language of weakness, strong men are bent. There's language of loneliness, grinders are few. The years take their toll. Life gets scary as strength fades. You're unable to do what you once did. You have to rely on others. Friends and family pass into eternity before you. Your world maybe gets smaller, but the world seems bigger and it's going faster, and you feel alone. When Solomon says dark days, he meant it. This is a clear-eyed look at life. The simple pleasures of life fade. Even sleep becomes elusive. It says, one rises up at the sound of a bird. I think that's imagery of just not being able to sleep very well. A little sound, what? You're awake. And sleep is gone. Sleep is fleeting. Rest is fleeting, and the weariness of the years piles on. You can't enjoy the food you've enjoyed. Your desire fades. Dark days. Not all of them, not all the days are dark, thankfully, but man, he put a lot of energy here. Does that ring true? There are days that are dark as you're getting older. Now, Solomon is writing by the inspiration of God here and from his own experience. Life is hard, and I want you to feel that. He put a lot of energy so we would feel it using pictures and images so you'd feel the reality. Life can be hard. As we feel it from these words, we can feel that God sees this. God wrote these words. God knows how hard life can be. So for you dear older saints, hear that God knows how hard it is. God knows all of the difficulties of age and frustration, the loneliness and the pains and the weakness, but still, the call to rejoice is there. Doesn't rescind that call. We don't stop rejoicing because life gets hard. Hear this and know that God understands all about your life, and still, it is better for you to rejoice, to obey and know the joy of the Lord. In the dark day, rejoice in the Lord always. Christ sympathizes and knows all of this pain perfectly. Yet he says, my grace is sufficient. So come and rest in him and find joy and remember your Creator. But for some of us, maybe we need to be more compassionate to some of our grumpier elders. They may be going through days that are darker than you understand or have any experience with. Life is hard. So may that stir up in us compassion for each other. For you who are young here, may this spur you on to live now. Dark days will be many. So remember your Creator and hold on to the joy that can shine in the deepest darkness and have peace with God. Dark days will be many. And the second thing that he points out here that I want to draw your attention to is there will be a judgment. you are going to die. You are going to die. Man is going to his eternal home. So before the silver cord of life snaps, before the golden bowl is broken, life, remember your Creator. Life is going to end. Your body will return to dust. Your spirit returns to God like a puff. Vanity. Vanity. And it's like the word means breath. If you remember, that's how Solomon started his whole book. That's how he ends. It's like a breath. It's like a breath. That's gone. Young people, I want you to take a minute and look ahead. If God gives you all the years that you could possibly want, one day your body will be old and frail. I remember as I wrote this, I was thinking back to my life. And I remember sitting in church, unlike this, and sitting beside my dad. And he would often put his hand around me, and it would dangle like right here. And I would be sitting and listening. This is when I'm small. I'm like here, and he's his hand. And I would look at him, and I'd poke on his veins that they stuck out of his hand. And for the whole sermon, that would just fascinate me. Poke, 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 poke. I was thinking about that today, or I was writing the sermon last week. I said, my hands look like my dad's hands. I've got those veins sticking out of my hands. His hand was wrinkled. It had these creases, and the skin wasn't smooth. I said, my hand's not smooth anymore. My hand has these wrinkles and some of these scars. They're never going to go away. I don't have a young man's hands anymore. My body's getting old. I've got my dad's hands. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. But young people, what is unimaginable to you, youngest of children, what is unimaginable, it doesn't even commute. Sometimes it's so weird to think of your grandma, your grandpa as being a child. But they were. And you're going to grow up and you're going to be, Lord willing, a grandma or grandpa. You're going to get old. Your body will start to fail. One day all of life is going to be wrung from your life, from your body. And you're going to die. That life, that body of yours, so strong and so full of energy and potential, will stop working. And the dust of your body will return to dust. And your spirit will return to God. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. All of your life and all of your motivations will be brought before God. And the significance of each moment will be revealed. You didn't think that it mattered. You probably didn't even pay attention to the motivation as it guided you. That angry word just slipped out and it's been forgotten. That thoughtless comment, the thing you posted, the thing you sent on without checking if it was true, just post it, don't care. It didn't matter, you didn't think about it. The person you bothered, the person you hurt, all forgotten to you. God doesn't forget any of it. It will all be judged, and in that judgment, you will know in a way that you don't know right now how much life matters, how much every day matters. You see, when we live for the end in view, when we live by remembering our Creator and that we will stand before Him, we remember that we will be judged. That won't make today seem less significant. It will make today seem more significant. Today is far too important to waste on selfish anger. Today is far too important to waste on partisan outrage, the outrage of our culture. Spend today in the joy of the Lord, living for Him. That is what matters. And then you can do good in all of those other avenues and all of those spheres of your life. Let that motivate you to love mightily in the name of the Lord, to see suffering and hurts around you, and let your tears fall. Let Christ's compassion well up in you and live. Love your family. Love your neighbor. Love those around you and seek to understand and speak truth. Don't be defensive. Love God and do good. You see, today matters. It matters more than you're aware of, but one day you'll know it. The little things that you do good. Remember what Jesus said when He comes back and He's going to say, who gave the cup of water? You say, we don't think it matters, but it matters. Who'd you visit? It matters. Live a life built around doing good. Showing kindness at your workplace. Being peaceable, quick to help, eager to see suffering and move towards it all around you. At home, children, You can live a life devoted to goodness at home, eager to help. That matters. Today, one day, will be reviewed by God and you. Today, right now, how you're hearing me and all those thoughts you're thinking. You'll sit with God and he's going to review that. He's going to go over your life and over your heart, and then you'll understand what it means to be fully known in that moment. God knows you fully. And for those of us in Christ, our hearts will burst more at the amazing reality that God knows me this much and he still loves me because of Jesus. We can remember it now, and may that spur us to live for him. But man, when we see how much he knows, and he heard all those thoughts, and he knew all those motivations that we weren't even paying attention to. He sees me. I am so much worse than I think because I like to look at the best. He sees me in my worst, and because of Jesus, he loves me. Be free, Christian. There is our joy when you see he loves you. And that love can motivate you to live for him. But for those who have rejected Jesus, you're not as good as you think. Every motivation of your heart will be revealed and exposed before the holy, righteous God and judge of the universe. And you will be undone. When it's all of it, day after day, thought after thought, word after word, motivation after word of motivation, all before this holy, pure, beautiful, glorious, joyful one, it's all there. And I promise you this, you will be undone. You didn't think it matters, but it does. But then it will be too late. Don't let today pass you by. Solomon ends this section saying it's vanity. It's all vanity. It's all going to be gone. Don't let this be all there is for you. It's a breath. Don't let this breath pass you by without finding joy and life and peace in Jesus. It is only in Christ, hidden in him, that we are safe in God. And everything has perfect and beautiful meaning. I want to close our time by thinking about Jesus, as I have every time in all of our sermons here, thinking about how Christ makes all the difference. And we can think about a lot of things here. Christ is our creator. Christ is our judge. Christ is our shelter. Christ is our shepherd. Those would all be great to think about. Go home and think about them. But I only want to give you one today. Christ is the light of life. He is the light of life. And all the sorrows of life and all the pains and hurts of old age and all the frustrations and disappointments of our government and all of the regrets and hurts of our life, when our eyes become dim, when the world holds no more light for us, Jesus is yet the light of life, our joy and our hope. John 1, John introduces the Savior. He says, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. That's what filled Jesus. Life filled Jesus. And his life was the light of men. And it shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Jesus said himself, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the light of the world. Come and follow Jesus. Come out of darkness and sorrow and into the joy of the Lord. He is the light. Christians, he's yours. Have you lost sight of the joy of living in the light of Jesus? Turn your hearts back to him, away from the madness and confusion, and rest in Christ and in his light, and walk in his light to bring light to this world. When God sent a prophecy to Zechariah about the coming Savior, he used that same imagery. He said, because of the tender mercy of God, I love that first, because of God's tender mercy, the sunrise shall visit us from on high. I love that language. Jesus is like a sunrise in the darkness of this world. The light of life, the light of Jesus burst onto this place and it shines in the darkness. It says to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus brought his light into the shadow of death. On the cross, he entered into that deep darkness and suffered for the sins of all who would believe on him. but the darkness did not overcome him. He overcame the darkness so that you and I and all who believe on Jesus could walk in the way of peace, peace with God and peace with men. This is our joy. This is our life. Christ is our light. Light is sweet. It is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. I love the language of the new heavens and the new earth where there will be no sun. It's pleasant to look at the sun, feel that sun. That's nothing compared to living in the light of the Son of God, the Holy One, and his blazing glory. That will warm our hearts and souls forever and ever and ever. So come and rest in his light. He is your life, and in him we rejoice, and in him we remember. He is our creator. Let's follow him into the ways of peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is a balm to our souls. It is a guide and a light to our paths. We thank you, Father, that you've loved us so much that you have not rejected us seeing our evil, but yet you have sent your Son to die for us and give us light and life that lasts forever. So remind us of what is true. Stir in us a joy in this world to live with a joy that is untouchable by the brokenness of our world. We might live for you, for your glory, and in peace. Help us, Father, and be with us as we continue on now. In Jesus' name, amen.